From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. More than 50 Palestinians were killed, hundreds wounded Monday in clashes along the Israel-Gaza frontier as the U.S. officially opened its embassy in Jerusalem, part of the 70th anniversary celebrations of Israel's founding. Tens of thousands of Palestinian protesters streamed to the border with Israel from Gaza, some using slingshots to hurl stones at Israeli troops, who responded with tear gas and, in some cases, live fire. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas denounced the violence as a massacre. It was the worst violence since 2014. Mr. Abbas ordered the Palestinian flag lowered to half-mast and called for 3 days of mourning and a general strike. White House spokesman Raj Shah blamed Hamas for the violence.
The responsibility for these tragic deaths rests squarely with Hamas. Hamas is intentionally and cynically provoking this response. And as the Secretary of State said, Israel has the right to defend itself.
There was global outrage at Israel at the violence, which occurred as the U.S. Embassy was formally opened with a ceremony in Jerusalem Monday. Among those on hand, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu.
What a glorious day. Remember this moment. This is history.
Palestinians who view East Jerusalem as the future capital of a Palestinian state denounced the move. Mr. Abbas referred to the embassy as an American settlement outpost. Libyan authorities Monday turned over to Egypt the bodies of 20 Egyptian Coptic Christian workers beheaded by Islamic State on the beach near the one-time stronghold of Sirte in February 2015. Egypt's Coptic Christian leader was at the airport in Cairo to receive the remains on a Libyan cargo plane. The bodies recovered last October. This is VOA News. With nearly all votes counted, it appears supporters of Shia cleric Muqtada al-Sadr are big winners following Sunday's parliamentary elections in Iraq in the first ballot since the defeat of the Islamic State. Iran-backed Shia militia chief Hadi al-Amiri's bloc came in second, followed by incumbent Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi. Washington Institute for Near East Policy Distinguished Fellow and former Ambassador James Jeffrey said it was not a good outcome for either Iran or the U.S.
It wasn't a great day for Iran because they had two primary candidates, Maliki and, again, Hadi al-Amiri. Between them got roughly 69 votes. The problem is it wasn't a great day for America because Abadi, who America was quietly supporting, came in third. And so there's no way that you can form a clear-cut pro-American coalition.
Sadr is an opponent of both the U.S. and Iran, but Jeffrey said a lot of coalition building will get underway, and it's possible Mr. Abadi may wind up the consensus prime minister. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has sought to cooperate with European allies Germany, France, and Britain over the way forward now that the U.S. has withdrawn from the 2015 Iran nuclear agreement. A State Department spokesperson said Pompeo underscored to the three countries the U.S. and its allies share strong interests in preventing Iran from developing a nuclear weapon and countering Tehran's destabilizing activities in the region. The Parliament of the Spanish region Catalonia Monday voted in a new separatist leader who has promised to continue the work forward toward independence from Spain. Quim Torra was narrowly approved by just one vote, with four lawmakers abstaining.
El nostre president és Carles Puigdemont. Segon,
Torra said Carles Puigdemont, the former president who is now in self-imposed exile in Germany and fighting extradition, is our president. He also pledged to remain faithful to the October 1st independence referendum that prompted Madrid to impose direct rule. The central government has warned it will do so again if the new administration violates the law. Sudan named seven new ministers Monday, part of a cabinet reshuffle that affected the oil portfolio and the foreign ministry. The country is grappling with an economic downturn and currency crisis, even after winning sanctions relief from the U.S., but the country still remains on Washington's state sponsors of terrorism list. 48-year-old U.S. First Lady Melania Trump underwent a surgical procedure to treat a benign kidney condition Monday and will remain at the Walter Reed Military Medical Hospital for the rest of the week. A spokesperson said the procedure was successful and there were no complications. U.S. stocks managed modest gains in Monday trading, with the benchmark Dow Jones gaining nearly 70 points to 24,899. Investors buoyed by news that President Donald Trump is trying to ease trade tensions with China by seeking some sort of relief for a sanctioned Chinese telecom giant.
That's the latest world news from VOA.